Good morning. It is our time. I think this year has been one of those years that's challenged the church in ways that we had not been challenged in several decades even. And it's something that going forward we have to determine what is worth the risk. I had a conversation with someone back before Christmas that was talking about the fact that they went out to eat for the first time in 4 months because they finally decided it was worth the risk. I just wonder sometimes, when was the last time we did something bold for Christ because we believed it to be worth the risk? It is our time. And we do need something new. The message today is, Lord, we need something new, a new year, a new focus, a new purpose. It just appears to me that when I talk to people that everyone is looking for some kind of change. When you look at New Year's resolutions, if you just Google it really quickly, you'll find there are somewhere around 65 million results. Those are articles, blogs, posts, sites, etc., dedicated purely to the subject of New Year's resolutions or changes that people want to make. I'm not a statistician, but I would say that that amounts to proof that people long for change. This year particularly, I believe people long for change. But how many of us long for change only if it's change going backwards? Back to what we used to have. Back to what we used to do. Back to what we used to like. Well, sometimes we need to remember that change needs to go forward too, and not simply back. We have a tendency to remember the things from our past in a very rosy viewpoint or through rose-colored glasses. We tend to think that the past was so much better than our current. And as a result, if we're not careful, we get hung up in that. The verses that we're going to study today are a little bit about that. You had Israel who had long since gotten used to the way God used to save them, the way He used to deliver them, the way He brought them through the sea, the way He led them through the wilderness, the way He gave them the Ten Commandments, that they couldn't see what God might be doing that was new and different than that. Sometimes I wonder if we don't get caught up in that same dilemma. I'm going to pray for us, then we'll read our verses, and then we'll jump into the message today. But I hope it will help us to see that we need change forward, not change backwards. The past is a beautiful thing. We should learn from it. We should cherish it. But we should never be anchored to it to the point that we won't allow God to do something new. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promise. I thank you for your plan. I thank you for your purpose, Lord, that you continue to work out your plan and purpose regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Lord, that you continue to challenge us to do things new and different than we've done them before. And Lord, I just pray that today, in the words of Isaiah, that we learn something about understanding that you may well be doing something new here, Lord, and that we need to get on board with that. Lord, we do need something new. We need a new year. We need a new direction. We need new purpose. Lord, we need help to understand, Lord, that you have not abandoned us and you have a plan and a purpose for each of us. Help us to approach this new year with an excitement of what is to come rather than a dread of what has already come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 43:10-21 reads like this: You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Also, henceforth, I am He. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives. Even the Chaldeans and the sea and the ships in which they rejoice, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariots and horses, army and warrior. They lie down and they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Israel remembered the Red Sea when it talks about the seas and the way that he delivered through them. You have the parting of the Red Sea. Well, Israel looked back on times like that and thought, God will deliver us in that way. But as a result, they missed the fact that he was delivering them through the wilderness with the Babylon captivity. They were missing what he was doing. They needed something new. They needed God to do it a different way. But they kept going back to what had happened before. That God would do it this way again. You know, this year, I think, if anything, we have been challenged in the aspect of what we used to do and how we used to do it. Will some of those things come back? I'm sure they will. I'm absolutely sure they will. But also, I am increasingly aware and sure that God is doing something new. Our church will be different. Our people will be different when they come back. And it will require God to have a new approach to the way we do ministry, the way we love each other, the way we cherish the times we have together. It will change the way we interact. And like that video talked about, I hope it will change in us our real desire to be on purpose with God. Because we had gotten away from that some. Whether we want to realize it or not, the fact of the matter was we had gotten very accustomed to our buildings being the witness in the community rather than our people. As a result, here we are this year where we've struggled because we don't know how to witness if we can't use the building. We need something new, and God gives us something new. James 1:2 instructs us to consider it all joy when we are faced with trials. According to Harold Fickett, James is not telling us to rejoice in the face of the testing experience. No one in his right mind rejoices because the doctor tells him he has cancer. So what James is trying to say, the word consider or count in some translations could be put this way, think forward. As you live in the present, consider the future. Think forward to the future. Gloom now, but glory later. Too many times we look at the trials we're going through right now, and all we can see is the bad. We get so caught up in what's happening. This new year that's coming up presents new opportunities, but we need to have a new focus too. We need to stop being so focused on the trial and start looking at what that trial might produce in us. Look at the future that God promises us. It's not the trial itself that we consider all joy. It's the anticipation of what will come of it The world doesn't have that promise. We do as believers. The author of Hebrews said of Jesus, whom for the joy that was set before him, or in front of him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Even Jesus found joy by practicing forward thinking. He knew what would come of the things he was going to endure. Joy comes in the morning. Jesus found that joy even as he is now sitting at the right hand of God. And we can find that joy in the promises and the purpose of God, regardless of the trials and the struggles that we currently have. Too often we end up stuck in the past. Israel in these passages was so amazed at the past things that God had done that they couldn't grasp anything new that God was doing. As I said earlier, they remembered the Red Sea, but they couldn't perceive that God might bring them or deliver them from Babylon in a new or different way. They were stuck on what had happened and couldn't see anything that might happen in the future different. This effect is called rosy retrospection. The Romans had a saying for it that I'm not even going to try to pronounce, but the translation would be this: what came before is recalled to be good. And what that means is we tend to look back and only see the good that it was, not the challenges that it was. I look back to my childhood and I remember how we spent all kinds of time together. It was before both of my parents worked and we had more family time together. There was more time with friends. But I forget that we were also dirt poor. And we struggled. We didn't have what people say they want today. We didn't have vehicles like they do today. We didn't have the ability to travel from one place to another the way we do now. It used to take us about 4.5-5 hours to get to my grandparents in Hinton because the roads between here and there weren't completed yet. So we look at it only in rosy viewpoints, oftentimes when we look at the past, and as a result, we get stuck there. Yes, God had done an amazing thing for Israel in delivering them from Egypt through the Red Sea, but that was not the greatest thing he was going to do for them. The greatest thing he was going to do for them was deliver a Savior. Deliver a person who would be the sacrifice for our sins. He was going to do something new. And this year, I truly believe God is going to do something new. We get stuck in the past sometimes because we don't like today and because we don't trust the future. Maybe more to the point, sometimes we don't trust He who holds the future. We're absolutely sure if He would just listen to us, it would be so much better. The past is certainly not bad, but we cannot let it make us miss what new thing might be done by God. A very similar thing happened to early Christians. Before the year 250, the persecution of Christians was rather sporadic. It was local. It wasn't nationwide or horrible. About 250 was when you started to see significant and severe persecution. That was the time of the martyrs. And during that time of the martyrs was when you saw examples of the faith held up before other believers to say, this is an example of what it means to truly be a follower, that you're willing to give up your life to follow Christ. It was also, though, a time where the Roman culture as such, or Roman government, started to fall apart. And as a result, you saw the Roman Catholic Church step in and become kind of the powers or the leaders of the Roman culture. Then they got stuck in that past and really appreciated the way they were able to control or be able to influence the society around them. And as Rome collapsed, I'm sure they were stuck in the past, remembering back to the days where they had all this influence and power. But it was the fall of the Roman government that led to an additional spread of Christianity, where it left the empire of Rome and spread into Europe and other places. The point is that sometimes a time of persecution and trial is needed to advance the plan and purpose of God. Why? Because we don't tend to move if we're comfortable. There tends to need to be something that propels us forward. Just like Israel, just like the early church, there had been a period of peace and growth and then a persecution. Arguably for us in the American church, there had been a time of peace and growth, and now a persecution. I made the statement the other day on Facebook that I would lend a whole lot more merit to the term outbreak if I heard it attached to something like Lowe's or Walmart, but it's never that way. It's churches or schools. Now we have had an experience of some trial and persecution, and although I would say more trial than persecution, I believe you get the point. Sometimes it takes those types of things in our lives to push us into a new reality with God. We don't want to be found as Israel was, stuck in the past. We want to be ready for this new thing that God is going to do. In Isaiah 43:24, it says this: "You have not bought me sweet cane with money, or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities." That's God speaking to Israel. We don't want to be found there. We don't want those words to describe us. They needed to recognize what God was going to do new, and so do we. But we can't do that if we won't let go of the past. How do we move past the disappointments or the hurts of this past year? How do we set those aside and refocus on what God is doing? How do we change where we are looking? Well, we need a new focus. We need to get back to focusing on who we are in Christ and His plan and purpose for our lives, rather than the one we had established for ourselves prior to the trials and persecutions we have experienced. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light." We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people of His own possession. We're here to proclaim His excellencies. And most of this year, all we have done is lament our woes rather than sing His praise. Louder have been the voices of the church screaming about the violation of their own rights than the diminishment of the glory of God. We needed some trial and tribulation to get us ready for what it is that God has new for us. We need to remember that God has a plan and a purpose for us that goes beyond our circumstances. A part of the hope that is born within us is because our circumstances don't determine our joy. We have a hope and a peace and a comfort that comes because we have promises of a glorious future, not a glorious present. We can see past the trials, past the struggles, and see a brighter day. Only when we remember that God has a plan and purpose that is beyond our current circumstances. We need to learn to focus on the plan and not on the circumstances. Otherwise, we will just get caught up in them. It's one of the reasons why Paul says in Philippians 3:13 and 14, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Understanding that we have to shed some of the things in the past to be able to move forward in this newness that God is doing, this new thing that He is doing. We can trust Him because He tells us in passages like Jeremiah 29:11 that He knows the plans He has for you, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. But we have to trust that future, and we have to trust it to that God. Only then will we let go of the past and be ready for something new. We need to believe that God will use us and our circumstances for good. We have to believe that this is for a reason. There's a purpose behind it. The things we have dealt with this year, there has to be some use, some purpose. If there's not, hopelessness is what will pervade us rather than hope. Hebrews 11:13-16 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar." Similar to what we're doing. We're looking ahead at things we have yet to see. "And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." Would that we could just get that part. We still think somehow we're meant for this world, and we are not. You have something better waiting for you. "For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return," meaning that if all they wanted was the land they left, they could have got back there. But they longed for something more than that. "But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." I don't know about you guys, but I desire a better country. I desire a better place than this, that has better promises than this. It's why passages like 3:20 mean so much. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We are entirely too focused on where we are instead of where we are going. We need a new purpose. Maybe not as much new as renewed. You know, Isaiah 43:10 says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me." We need to learn to renew our praise by focusing on what God will do and who He is. We need something new, whether we realize it or not. Sometimes, like I said, we're so attached to the past that our future can't be seen or appreciated. And as a church, for a time, even for myself as the pastor praying through this year, all I could continue to look back at was the past. When do we get back to these things? How do we get back to those things? How do we just change those things a wee little bit? And what it boiled down to was the more I prayed, the harder I prayed, the more I realized that we didn't need the past. We needed God to do something new. We need to learn to renew our praise by focusing on what God will do. I'm ready for what God will do in 2021. I look forward to what new thing he will challenge us with, what new thing he will use to make us grow. I pray I'm not found so stuck in the past that I can't see what new thing he will do. And I pray that same thing for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your message. I thank you for the fact that you are not done with us. The old things may be going away, but the new has come. And Lord, help us to be excited and enthusiastic and committed to the new things you will do, Lord. Lord, I pray your blessing on those that are listening, Lord, that have gone through a horrible year. Lord, I pray that today you help them see the hope that is before them. That these things are light and momentary troubles, because something far greater than this place waits for us. Help us, Lord, to focus on that. Give us a new year, a new focus, and a new purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.